It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. And I would remind you that it is a good life serving the Lord today. We want to look in the Word of God today, and we're going to look at three different verses in Joshua chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 11, and James chapter 2. If you would like a transcript of this program or any program of It's a Good Life, be sure and go to our website and look under the heading there, Transcripts, and you can receive a transcript free of charge of this program of It's a Good Life or any other ones that you would like to request. In Joshua chapter 2, in that first verse, in the first part of that verse, it says, "And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." In James chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way." As we look at this woman, Rahab, we see a picture of all those who have been born into this world. God does not make a difference in us. He sees us all the same as we are born into this world, as we grow. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Not only do we see Rahab with a tragic past, but we need to look at ourselves. We need to understand that we had a tragic past, that we have passed from death into life if we've trusted Christ, but we're all the same. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I would have you know this today, that as a person who has passed from death into life, that God does not alter the robe of righteousness to fit the man or the woman. He remakes the man or woman to fit the robe. God does not simply grab a robe off the rack and say, "Here is one size fits all." That robe is fitted to the person. That man or woman is fitted to the robe. God does not take anything by chance. He does not do anything by chance. And neither should man. Man does not have to take a chance. God says, "If you'll believe on me, receive my Son as your Savior, you will go to heaven." In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God changes the person. There is a change that takes place in a person's life once they ask Jesus to come into their life and to change their old, vile, dirty heart. Remember, Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," that's Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Well, notice this woman's faith in God. Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Well, how could God save somebody like this woman? How could he do that? In Romans chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, "For he saith to Moses," that's God saying to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Well, how could God save somebody like this woman, Rahab, this harlot? Simply because he's God. God can do what he wants. No one tells God what to do. Not even you, not even I, not even Rahab. God saves those who will come to him, faith believing that he is a God of mercy. And when he says, "I will have mercy upon whom I will and compassion on whom I will have compassion," that's God speaking. No one is able to change the way God works in this life to save a person. Well, how could God save somebody like this? It's because he's God. Why did God save her? In Romans chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, it says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Why did God save Rahab? The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 9, that God saves anyone to make known the riches of his glory. He uses vessels to show his mercy. We are the vessels. We are the ones who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's because of the riches of God's glory and through his mercy that Rahab was saved, that anyone can know Christ today as Lord and Savior because of God's glory and his mercy. And notice the last part that I read to you in verse 24. It says, "Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." God has not forsaken his people, the Jews. He has not done something to them that will cause them to spend an eternity in hell. He gives them the same opportunity that he gives the Gentiles. Notice it says, "but also of the Gentiles." The Jewish nation has the same opportunity that you and I have as a Gentile, as a non-Jewish person. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that's everyone, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that's everyone. No matter who you are today, whether you are born a Jew, a Gentile, a Greek, or whoever you are, God makes no difference in us. He will save anyone who comes to him faith-believing. Well, how could God save someone like Rahab? Because of his mercy. Because he will have mercy upon whom he will. And who does he have mercy on? He has mercy upon those people who will come to him faith-believing. Notice Rahab's work of faith. In Joshua chapter 2 and verses 2 through 6, it talks about the hiding of the spies who came from Israel to spy out the land of Jericho so that Israel could come in and overtake those people. In James chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" Well, so many people think that that verse is teaching that a person is saved by works. But that's not what God is saying at all in James chapter 2. In the verse preceding verse 25 of James 2, it says in verse 24, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." You see, man looks upon the outward appearance of another man. We have a tendency as human beings to judge other people by what we see. God looks upon the heart of man. He sees the real person. He sees that person who has trusted him as Savior. Man will look upon the outer part of another person. James 2:24, it says, "Ye see then." Man sees the works of another man. We should not judge another person by their works or the lack of their works. We can only say, "God, I pray that that person knows Jesus as Savior." Augustine said, "Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but rather believe that you may understand." We believe and trust in God for our salvation, and that is the only way to heaven. Roger Babson said this, "Let us not pray for lighter burdens, but for stronger backs." Certainly we are not saved by works, but we are to do good works. We are to serve our Master, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. We are to serve our Heavenly Father today by doing good works, by reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40 and verse 29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Some of us get to a point where we say, "Well, we've done all we can do. I'm so tired. I can't do any more. I've reached my limit." But God says that he's going to give power to the faint, and he's going to give it to them who have no might. And what's he going to do? He's going to increase their strength. It's been said that success is a ladder which cannot be climbed with our hands in our pockets. We need to serve God. We need to work while it is day, because the night is coming. We need to do our best to serve God and to live for Him. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in the first part of that verse, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Notice this woman's testimony. She gave testimony of what great things God had done for Israel in chapter 2 of Joshua, verses 9 through 13. And notice in verse 11 it says, "For the Lord your God, He is God." Here she is acknowledging the fact that she recognized the God of Israel as the Lord. I believe Rahab was a saved person, not because she hid the spies, but because she had trusted in the same God that had brought these spies into Jericho to subdue this land. Notice her blessed influence now in Joshua chapter 2. We can also read that in chapter 6. Her influence was this, that her father, her mother, her brethren, all her kindred, and all that she had was saved because of her influence. She had an influence, not like Lot, who was in Sodom and Gomorrah, who did not have a great influence or a great testimony before the people of Sodom. Unlike Lot, this woman was a person who helped her family find the Lord, and they were saved because of her testimony, because of her faithfulness to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." When we are a saved person, when we live for the Lord, we become a sweet savor unto Him, and that's what Rahab was. She was a sweet savor unto God. Notice her noble posterity now. In Ruth chapter 4 and verses 21 through 22, it says, "Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David." Through her lineage, the Lord Jesus Christ would come. David was born because of this harlot, Rahab. In Galatians 3, verse 29, it says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We become Abraham's seed, not because we're Jewish, but because we have trusted in the seed of Abraham, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God can take a life, no matter how old or young a man or woman is, and make that life over. It makes no difference how bad or good that person has been. God can change that life. He can make something great out of any of our lives. He did with Rahab. He can do the same for you today. Call upon Him now. Ask Him into your heart. Receive Him as your Savior. If you're saved, you need to be serving Him today. Ask Him, "Lord, help me to serve You better today." This is Lewis Woodard. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.